to remember the Chof TV stuff she paid of Reb Chaim Matcha Bonnet.
Just wanted to start off by expressing my appreciation to Reb Nachum David for giving me the opportunity to speak, and also to match my appreciation to Machavrusa, the Rosh Keller, Mechalbe Weissmandel, and Kelech Rater for helping me var these halachas chamuras of ribis, and special thanks to Machosh Chavrusa. The topic and discussion today, B'siach Dishmai, will be what are the halachas of ribis when somebody lends money and he cares in expenses, whether it's expenses while he's trying to lend the money, getting hold of the money, whether it's expenses during the time the money's being lent out, he can't do business with it. Expenses, unfortunately, all too often, he doesn't pay back on time. This goes wrong and that goes wrong. What is the shail of ribis for the lever to pay back, to reimburse those losses, or is it okay? I just want to start off that what we're discussing here is only from a ribis aspect. From Hilchos Cheshen Mishpat, as a separate shaila, whether the lever will be mechuyev to pay back. Our question is, if the lever wants to, even let's say al pi Cheshen Mishpat, he's not mechuyev, but he feels bad. He, after all, he lent him money, and for some reason, somebody lost that because of him, so he wants to reimburse him. Mad, you know. So we'll start with day number one. The lever, the borrower, comes to the malver, the lender, and he says, lend me £10,000. So straight away, there's going to be various expenses are going to crop up. There's going to be the expenses of getting the money, transferring the money, lawyers, he's going to secure his house, he's going to have to pay insurance for his house. What's the halachas of all these expenses? So the Mishnah in Bar Basra tells us that the lever pays for the shtar. So we already know very clearly that the lever, the one who's borrowing the money, he is liable for all the expenses involved in creating the halva, which, like we said, includes transferring the money, bank expenses, lawyers. If the malver wants a guarantor, the lever has to pay for that. And obviously the svara in these things is twofold in a way. First of all, the malver doesn't gain anything from it. He's not going to get anything in his pocket, extra in his pocket. And second of all, the malver is allowed to do whatever is necessary to guarantee his money, to secure his money. He's not expected to lend money and throw it in the dustbin. So anything which is needed to secure the loan is okay. The shaila can sometimes come up when a bank lends out money. This is obviously a shaila more in Eretz Yisrael. When a bank lends money, and then they want you to insure the house, which is the loan is secured on, in their own insurance company. Very often the bank has their own company which is connected to the bank which does insurance, and they want specifically a specific company because obviously they're going to gain from the business. So you're allowed to use a specific guarantor which the malver specifically wants. So I saw in Bris Yehuda from Yanko Blur, he says that if they have a interest besides for the business, but it's easier for them at the end of the day if they need to claim the money. If it's all one big company, it's much easier for them to claim the money. They're not trying to do it because they want the extra business only, but they have a clear benefit that will be easier for them in the event of any complications to get the money back, so then it'll be okay. As long as it's not more expensive than other companies. So like we said, the one who's lending the money has to take a taxi to get the money, then the lovers can pay for that. Also, an important point to mention here is that very often, the one lending the money had these expenses anyway. He had money sitting in his account, and he anyhow had to go to the bank, because he needed to take out money. And now somebody else is coming to ask him to borrow the money. He said, excellent, I'll charge him, because he needs the money, so I'll charge him the £5 for the taxi fare. And then I'll lend him the money, and then afterwards I'll pay it back. So that would be awesome, because that was an expense that the malver would have had either way. So he's basically charging his own bills onto somebody else, just because he's done a mitzvah and lending the money. You can only charge for the expenses if the expenses are incurred solely because of the loan. Yeah, if let's say he's taking out some money for himself, some money for him, yeah, it could be can go half-half. I didn't get 100% clear on this point. Which would be interesting, because it could be if the lever would go himself, he knows he needs the money, so he'll take the tax himself. So you can't say he's doing it to give the malva a benefit, because he's partially doing it because he needs the loan. At the end of the day, the malva is going to gain, because somebody else has gone to the bank for him. So we'll see. See later, that gets a bit more complicated. If the loiver says to the malva, I need the loan, please go to the bank and take it out. So the malva is choosing his mode of transport. Yeah, I don't know if he wants to, he could have taken a bus and he decides to take a taxi of his own accord. Probably won't be able to charge him unless he can say that, I can't lend you the money, unless I'm going to lose time on work, and if I can't do it, then you can charge for the taxi. But otherwise, he won't be able to charge him if it's only his convenience. Khair. Right, right. So you can say, I'm not prepared to lend the money. If you insist on me taking the bus, I'm not lending you the money. If you want me to lend you money, then I need to take a taxi. Yeah, I don't think he's mechuyev to... He's not mechuyev to go out of his way. Say, if you want the loan, then it's going to cost me X, Y, Z.
And you can charge him.
Yeah. You can't. If I'm doing it specifically because he wants this loan and this is how I need to do it, then it'll be okay. L'chayr. He would be able to because he's only going to the bank specifically for the borrower.
There's a borrower. Yeah, but the borrower pays the tax.
So that would be okay. He's the one who has to pay for it because it's the loans for him. So a very common shaila, which is a lead on from this shaila, is gemachim. You have somebody who very kindly sets up a gemach, he puts... I've picked an amount of £20,000 just because otherwise the figures are going to get complicated. £20,000 he sets aside for gemach, and he has running expenses. He has a secretary, he has electric bills, he has utility bills. So, first of all, the difference between what we've discussed till now in this case is that here these expenses happen before anyone knocks on my door. Before anyone knocks on my door says, I want a loan, I've already paid rent, I've already paid the secretary. So, you can't say that to the loiver, listen, I got these expenses because of you. Because these expenses came before he came on the scene. But the police can say that it's still okay to charge the loiver. Because at the end of the day, these are expenses which are incurred only because I want to lend out money. The big question starts is how you divide it up. If you take our example of £20,000, so let's say he lends it to exactly 20 people. But he doesn't lend £1,000 to each person. He lends five people £2,000, lends another five people £1,000. And that way, another 10 people, £500. That way, he divides up £20,000 in 20 people. So, really, it doesn't cost more to lend £2,000 than to lend £500. So, you could say, let's charge each person £10 if their expenses were £200 a month. On the other hand, you could say, from a business perspective, it doesn't really sound right to charge everyone. He's getting a loan of £22,000, he's getting a loan of £500, why should they both be paying the same amount? So, interestingly enough, this is the shaila which is negeir to shmita as well. Because when you have shmita, it's issachir, you're not allowed to do business with peyer shvius. So, what they do is the beis din send in shluchim to pick and whatever's involved in having a field ready to produce the fruit. So, if you go to Yisrael Sukkos during Shemitah, surprisingly enough, you'll see that their sroigim, which are marketed by the Oitzah Beis Din, are not all the same price. And if you're saying we're just dividing the expenses which the Beis Din occurred over looking after this field, then every esrog should be divided equally between every esrog. It's not more expensive to pick a nice esrog than not a nice esrog. So, Rabbi Nissen Karera said that you pay according to the hanor, the benefit you got from the expenses. So if you got a bigger Hano, you got a bigger benefit from the expenses, you have to pay a bigger cut. So Rav Nissen Karelis applied it to Gemach as well. That the person who borrowed £2,000, he got a much bigger benefit from the input and the expenses that the lender had to put in. And therefore, he says it's okay to charge according to the value of the loan. However, I don't remember who it was anymore, but one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim refused to sign an arvus on the loan, which was they charged according to the amount of the expenses. So it's machalek zaboiskim. Another point for Gemachim is that they can only charge for expenses which are necessary to lend out the money. If they want to have a fancy letterhead, and they want to, yeah, wants to have a swivel chair and all extras, he won't be able to pass on those charges. It will have to be his own expenses. So the question arises, so now we've said that you can charge, you can have a gemach and charge for the secretary, the electric costs. So what happens if you have a balabos who wants to give away an hour in his evenings, and he'll lend the money himself, why should I employ a secretary? He'll give away an hour and he'll charge for his time is money. The poskim don't allow it, it's bordering on ribbis, and therefore it should be avoided at all costs. Now we'll move on to, as opposed to expenses which are occurred making the loan, what about expenses? Two other expenses or losses which could happen. One is he loses the chance of making profits. By lending out the money or because he didn't pay back on time, he loses the chance of the deal of a lifetime he lost because he didn't pay back. He told him to pay back Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I need the money Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan turns around. Where's money? Veinenu. He loses the chance to do business deal. Ma dinoi. Yeah. I told the lawyer, I need the money Rosh Chodesh Nisan because I know there's something coming up. Otherwise, doesn't happen. Or, what happens if the malve, let's say, knows he's got a bill, he's got a tax bill to pay by a certain date. He says, I need the money back, otherwise I'm going to be fined. Please make sure to pay back on time. And the day comes, and he has to pay back. Right. Yeah, that's a very common shaila, 100%. So the halacha is, before we get to halacha, a very common example, I think. If somebody has money in a savings account, so he's put away money for 5 years in a savings account, and he's getting high interest because he's locked up for 5 years. And then Mr. Leuwe knocks on his door and says, do you have £10,000 to lend me? He said, not really. I've got £10,000 in my savings account, but I can't touch it. So he says, listen, what's it going to cost you? Tell me how much it costs you. I'll reimburse you. Can he pay him back or not? So the Trusa Rashba says that any time the malve is not going to gain money, is going to miss a chance of gaining money, then the loive can't pay him back. And the Rashba says, every ribbis is like that. Every time I lend somebody money, he's losing a chance of investing it. And that's what the Torah says, you're not allowed to charge. So there's no heter to charge for the loss of profit. So in the case we said, where he said, pay back Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because I know I've got a business deal which I can do then. If you don't pay back then, I'm going to lose my chance. And he didn't pay back, it will be osa for the leve to reimburse the malve for that loss, or for that lack of gain. However, the place can say, comes from Mataz, that it would not be ribis to reimburse the malve for loss. So therefore, if like the case where we said the malve has a tax bill to pay, it says pay back on time, otherwise I'm going to have to pay a fine, and he didn't pay back on time, then for the loive to pay that fine will be okay. Mitzad Hilchus Ribis. Like I said before, Alpi Chesh Mishbot, I don't know if he's mechayev to pay. I don't know. Sometimes you can know that you're not sure if he'll pay back on time and say, listen, before I lend you the money, I want you to agree that if I have a loss, you'll pay it back. So then Alpi Chesh Mishbot, he would be mechayev to pay it back, possibly. So then Mitzad Hilchus Ribis, I'll be fine. Oh. Interest is not called an expense. As though the chiddush of the Taz, that interest is not called an expense. So in the case of the credit card, even though he didn't pay back on time, he said, pay back on time, otherwise I'm going to charge interest. And the day came and the bank charged him interest, he will not be allowed to pass on that fee. What's the difference? The difference is very unclear. But Rabbi Gelber suggests the following svara. He says, interest is not a loss. Interest is the cost of money. Money costs. He says, only a hezek, only a loss you can pay. If somebody comes to me and says, I want to borrow money, so I went and I bought something or I sold something in order to access money, that's not called a loss. He sold his car in order to access money. That's not called a loss. He sold something, exchanged his car for money, and then passed on that money to me. So who I didn't, when you pay interest, interest is not a loss. But in Lule, the Issa of Ribis, it would make sense to charge Ribis. Time, having money for time, is worth money.
In the case of a credit card, you get 56 days or 60 days interest until the bill comes in. So I've got to pay it when the bill comes. Once it comes after that, it now becomes a loss to me. It's based on an interest fee, but it becomes a loss to me now.
So that's what we're saying, that interest is not considered a loss. Interest is considered the price. Money costs. But that's not called a loss. It's tak a shvera svara. I don't understand myself so well. But I'll switch the intas. So it'll come out a very, very interesting point. It can come out that we have somebody who, like we said, he says, pay me back on time. I have a tax bill to pay at the end of the year. If you don't pay me back on time, I'm going to get a fine. It's 2 days before the date, and he still hasn't been paid back. Now, he's got two choices. He's either going to get a £1,000 fine, or he can just go into his overdraft, take the money he owes the tax bill, pay it up, and he'll have an overdraft fee of £100. It'll be better for him, in a way, to pay the £1,000 fee, a £1,000 penalty, because that the levy will be able to reimburse him. But if he takes the loan from the bank and he pays the interest, then the levy will not be allowed to reimburse him. The poskim discuss what happens if the malva has to take money behet to iska. So again, like we said, he came, he knows he's got this tax bill to pay, and he came closer to the date, and the money is not coming, it's not coming, it's not coming. He loses patience, he goes to his neighbor, says, please lend me money behet to iska, I'll pay you a certain percentage with the behet to iska, we'll sign up. And that way I'll pay my tax bill. So the person can say that also, he cannot pay back. Het iska is not called a loss. And therefore he would not be allowed to, the loiver would not allow to be reimbursed the malva, the expenses he had to pay for the het iska. So let's go back to the shaila of the savings account. Again, the malva came to the loiver and says, please lend me £10,000. He said, I have money in my savings account, I can't access it. So this will depend very much on what happens when he withdraws the money from the savings account before the 5 years are up. If he hasn't got the interest from that 5 years, then to withdraw that money is just stopping himself gaining the interest he would have got. However, if they've already credited him the interest, and they'll take it back from him because he's withdrawn the money early, then that would be a loss. But without knowing too much about banking, I would imagine that they send the yearly statement and they'll put the interest on it. But between me and you, there's no way of accessing that interest, because as soon as you take out the money, you're going to lose it. So it's on the paper, but he doesn't have any way of accessing it. So that would not be called money in his hand. Unless they put it into a separate account or somewhere else where he could use it, and then they would take it back, and that would be called a loss. But the fact that they send him a statement and it says on it, you've got X amount of interest, is not worth more than the paper is printed on. Yeah. Or they've given him a high interest rate because he's locked in for 5 years, and let's say it's daily, but if you take it out, then we'll take it back. But not really taking it back, because they haven't really given it to him. So therefore, that would only be called the losing the opportunity of gaining money.
Sometimes if you're locked into something, it costs you money to take it out. That's a loss, and that can be charged.
If he's going to pay from his own pocket, then that will be a loss, yes. The last interesting, unclear sugya is like this. The Shulchan Aruch discusses a case, and we'll bring it down to modern day terms, of Reuven comes to Shimon and says, please lend me money, 2,000, 3,000 pounds. And he says to him, I don't have any spare cash, but my old jalopy there, I've got no use for it. And I've been looking, going here and there, looking for a buyer. I heard that if you go to somewhere down south, there's somebody who buys these cars. I don't have the time and the head to go and sell it. You're very welcome. Take the car, sell it, borrow the money, Shalom Yisrael. The Levi is delighted, takes the car, takes it, sells it, uses the money, Madino. The Levi has only got his own interest in mind. He's totally not interested in the Malveh, doing the Malveh any tovers. At the end of the day, he's done the Malveh a major tover. The Malveh was trying to get rid of his car, and unsuccessfully, and now he's helped him out. Shulchan Aruch paskens that you have to pay the Levi for his efforts involved in going and selling the car. Besides, obviously, for the expenses in getting the car to wherever it was, but just for the effort of selling it, you have to pay him. So the Taz says, why should I pay him? He's doing it for himself. Taz is not saying his own chiddush. The Taz is explaining the Rishonim who say you don't. Taz is saying their rationale is because he's trying to get his money for himself. He's doing it for his own good. La Locha, it's a machlok, is how much you have to pay. Do you have to pay? The Taz, even the Taz who says he's doing it for himself, wasn't chilek on the Shulchan Aruch who says that you have to pay him. But the Taz says you can pay him a small sum. It doesn't have to be according to what it actually cost him. However, on the other hand, we have a Shailen Chesh Mishpat where Reuven lent money to Shimon. And he's sitting there and Reuven doesn't have the time or the head to go and collect it. And Levi says to Reuven, I know, everyone knows that Shimon owes you money. I want to borrow some money. I'll go to Shimon, I'll collect the money, and then I'll borrow it and I'll pay back after a later date. So it's Mavur there, both in the Ktzos and the Tzivos, that it's Pesei D'Gomo. No problem, he's doing it for himself, and he doesn't have to pay anything. So the question is, how do we reconcile here these two halachas? So halach l'maisa, I'm not sure, but one mahalach I saw in one of the Sfarim that going to collect money is a normal thing. Every lover comes to the Malveh to collect his money. So here, he's actually going a bit further, he's traveling a bit more, but this is a regular thing which people do to get a loan. So therefore, it's no shaila of ribis, even though the Malveh is getting a tremendous benefit from it. However, to sell somebody's car is not done every day. Nobody sells other people's car to get a loan. It's just not the done thing. So therefore, to do such a bother in order to get a loan, that would be a problem of ribis and be tail on machlek to Shulchan Aruch and Taz, how much you'd have to pay. So if such a shaila comes up, you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi who's proficient in Hilchos Ribis. So we'll just recap quickly what we spoke about. Basically, we spoke about the expenses when you make a loan, which the levy is allowed to pay. We spoke about the expenses involved in a gemach, which the poskim are matir, but the question is only how to divide it up. We spoke about, very important, that the loss of being able to gain money is the prevention of being able to gain money is not allowed to be reimbursed. However, losses are allowed to be reimbursed, and that interest is not called a loss. And then we discuss this trailer when the loive goes out of his way to get money for his own sake, and the malveh gains from it.